You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
Just yesterday, Finance Minister Nicola Willis made her pre-budget speech in the lead-up to Budget 2025, which will be delivered next month. During her speech, Willis said that the government would be halving the operating allowance from $2.4 billion to $1.3 billion, going to a select number of government departments that Willis described as the most important priorities. The week before, it came to light that Climate Minister Simon Watts had rejected advice to review the carbon subsidies given to polluting companies like NZ Steel and Methanex. And the Greens recently made a call to the government to ban the use of engineered stone products. For our weekly catch-up with the Green Party, I spoke to MP Ricardo Menendez March for the Green Party's take on all of these issues. What was your reaction to Nicola Willis's budget announcement?
Yeah, look, political austerity and economic austerity are choices. While the government is spending $12 billion in defense, they are telling us there isn't enough money for things like tackling child poverty, ensuring people have warm, healthy homes to live in, and adequate public transport. So the government is effectively lying to the public when they claim that they have to tighten the purse, while at the same time they're spending record amounts of money just because the US put pressure on us geopolitically. It is time the government owns up to the fact that they're serving the interests of the wealthy few and not the many.
Who do you think will be most affected by the funding allocation in Budget 2025?
Well, if the last budget was anything to go by, the tax cuts that costed the government a lot of money ended up benefiting wealthier individuals compared to most everyday people. And it particularly didn't benefit those on the lowest incomes. This is just in line with the government's approach of increasing inequality, increasing poverty, and increasing climate emissions while spending billions of dollars on projects that don't help address any of these.
Do you think that the government's practice of borrowing last year has led to the reductions that we will see in this year's budget?
Well, no doubt the tax cuts came at a big price, and now the government is saying that they have to tighten their belts and spend less money as a result of it. But I guess the real political choice here is that the government hasn't touched the fact that we need tax reform, we need a wealth tax to ensure that we actually raise enough revenue to have enough resources to end child poverty, tackle climate change emissions, have good quality health care, and decent public transport across the country.
Nicola Willis has indicated that additional funding would be given to areas related to health, education, law and order, defense, and a small number of critical social investments. Do you think that the government will devote funding to the right areas of the economy in the upcoming budget?
Nicola Willis is straight up lying, because while she says that, we have a hiring freeze at Te Whatu, which means we actually are not resourcing the healthcare workers we need to be well paid, to have enough staff at the hospitals, for example. And so when she says she's investing in health, she should be talking to the frontline health workers who are telling us that the government's austerity actions are coming at the price of patients not having the right conditions and workers actually facing the real prospect of having to either go to Australia or be subjected to low pay and overworking.
And how would a Greens-led government allocate funding if they were to announce the budget?
The Greens would introduce a wealth tax that would unlock the resources to ensure that we can end child poverty, tackle climate change emissions, and we would stop the cuts that this government is making to essential public services. That means that actually people are left without the necessary means to survive. And a really good example of the impacts of this government's choices that we would reverse is, for example, putting all these benefit sanctions. That means that Ministry of Social Development workers can't focus on preventing homelessness because they're just now burdened with a lot of busy admin that actually does not lead to positive outcomes for the people who need help the most.
All right, moving on to the next topic. It's recently come to light that Climate Minister Simon Watts has rejected advice to review the carbon subsidies given to polluting companies like NZ Steel and Methanex. This comes after Inland Revenue and Treasury reportedly told the government that there was no evidence that free carbon credits were needed, with other climate campaigners saying they provided no incentive for polluting companies to switch to lower emission technology. So, what is your take on ministers rejecting the advice to review our current carbon subsidy schemes?
This just really flows quite well from the previous questions, right? Which is the fact that we've got a government that is telling us that they don't have the resources to adequately invest in things like healthcare, while at the same time they're quite happy to fork out millions and millions of dollars in subsidizing polluters. And big corporates who should be doing their part in actually creating green jobs and being part of the just transition. So it just says that this government is quite happy to spend billions on things like military equipment and subsidizing polluters and not on the essential things that help people actually have a good life.
Why do you think that the government is insisting on maintaining their current carbon subsidy scheme in spite of departmental advice?
Because they're climate change denialists. I mean, we've seen how their coalition partners of National straight up are just spouting climate denialist rhetoric, and they seem to want to serve the interests of corporates, not the everyday people. And so this is why we're seeing a government that is, on the one hand, telling everyday people that they've got to tighten their belts while corporates continue receiving massive subsidies that end up actually just then polluting our planet. We should be investing in, for example, adequately creating new jobs. That means that people can transition from those polluting industries onto other types of workplaces. And this is not happening at the moment, which means then they're able to use the job losses argument in the defense of subsidizing polluters.
Simon Watts has said that the current scheme was important for maintaining cost competitiveness amongst heavy emitting companies. How would you respond to that?
Well, this is the result of the government not investing in a just transition that would see the creation of jobs in industries that are not as polluting and would allow people to actually transition into industries that could be A, more competitive, create more high-value economy and high-value exports, as opposed to actually investing in things like coal mining that actually won't create massive will create minimal economic benefits to our country. So on the one hand, the government is talking about competitiveness, and yet we're investing in industries that actually won't last the turn of the next century.
And what would be a more efficient way to incentivize carbon emitting companies to lower their emissions than carbon credits?
Well, we could tax those companies and actually make polluters pay for the damage that they create. At the end of the day, we're basically subsidizing polluters who then pollute our environment, and then we have to fork out the money to clean up that very same damage that those companies are creating. One thing the government could do, as I said, is to actually invest in creating new jobs in sectors that are not as polluting, so that people actually have the options to transition into workplaces and industries that are better for the planet, better for the economy, and better for our exports.
All right, moving on to the last topic. The Greens recently made a call to the government to ban the use of engineered stone products. The Greens spokesperson for workplace relations and safety, Teano Tuiono, said that engineered stone posed health risks to workers and cited a ban of the material imposed by Australia as an example. Can you tell us a bit more about the Greens' call and why it's important for the government to ban engineered stone?
Yeah, the processing of engineered stone releases effectively substances that can cause permanent and chronic damage to people's respiratory tracts. And this is killing workers, effectively. One of the things the government could do to better protect workers is to actually ban the processing of engineered stone so that actually we don't have workers developing permanent and chronic conditions that can ruin life. As you've mentioned, Australia already moved to ban it. And I think New Zealand's really lagging behind on workplace safety. This is one really, really critical thing our government could do to support some of the workers that are actually at the front lines of helping us create a much more productive economy.
Do you think that the prevalence of silicosis cases in Aotearoa might prompt the government to take action?
You would hope so, but again, the government has weakened recently the protections and health policies that help protect workers. And so, I think this is one of the opportunities the government has to strengthen workers' protections as opposed to continuing to weaken them. Because what I want the public to know is that if we don't ban the processing of engineered stone, people's lives will be at stake. And so this isn't just about, people feeling good in their workplace. This is literally about people's health and livelihoods.
The Extractives Health and Safety Council have proposed wet cutting and frequent air quality tests as a way to mitigate the harm of engineered stone exposure. Do you think that this is enough?
I think when a material is literally resulting in people dying, the right thing to do would be to ban it. We have plenty of alternative choices, and I just simply do not think that we need to cave in to a few companies in order to actually, to prevent doing the necessary work to protect people's lives. As I said earlier, the current practice and even other alternatives would still continue exposing workers to long-term damage that cannot actually be cured. And so this is why banning the processing of engineered stone is the right thing to do, and we should follow line with what Australia's done recently.
And that was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez-March talking to us about Nicola Willis's pre-budget announcement, Climate Minister Simon Watts rejecting advice to review carbon subsidies, and the Greens' call to ban engineered stone products.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez-March.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.